Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am going to be with you for about 55 minutes today. And I have with me someone I have the utmost respect for, have known her for a very long time. And her name is Dina Guiel-Ampiazzi. And she's a city councilor, but I knew her before she lost her mind and ran for city council. I tried to counsel her, but she didn't listen. But really and truly, I applaud what she's done on the city council. She's, you know, there's people who are voices of reason, and there are people who are just voices. And I consider Dina a voice of reason. And she chairs the ONR, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah, ordinance and rules. Yep.
Ordinance and rules, and she does a great job because I watch most of the meetings and even the sub-meetings because I don't have a life. So there you go. And it's better than watching the news. So welcome, Dina, and thank you so much for coming on. And thank you for your service to the city.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for having me on. And honestly, thank you for your service. I love this show, WTBR, your program, and so many other programs give the community such a great platform just to connect and share information.
I started this. I had no intention. My happiness was when we saved WTBR from extinction, yeah, or being turned back to the federal government. I have to thank, you know, Peter Marchetti, the current mayor, who was president of city council, Mayor Tyre, the then mayor, Jake McCandless, Joe Curtis, Kathy Yan, and the people on the school committee and the city council. It has turned out, as I thought it would be, to be a gem of this community, giving a lot of people a voice. So, and my thing is, and I've said this on the air before, I don't have to like you. I don't have to believe in your cause, but you have a right, because we are Pittsfield Community Television. We are Pittsfield Community Radio. You're part of this community. You have a right to be on it. And now Southern Berkshire, the same thing.
Because
we're now, yeah, we're blowing off down in the Southern Berkshire now. So tell me, what do you think the ramifications of all that's going on in the federal government will be on the state and city governments?
Bill, all we can do is brace ourselves. You know, there's a reality that, I mean, there's so many different categories that we can go to try to predict, right?
Yeah.
You know, is our state one that is supportive of the administration, generally speaking, our state leadership? No.
No.
Is he one for vendettas? Yes. I think that puts us in a vulnerable position.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and then there's just also, and he's been very open about that, right? Like he has targeted states that generally disagree with him or have been.
Well, he's already cut the education budget by a good.
Cut our education budget. You know, and then we look at the other side of it and what's happening with our economy. You know, I try really hard to limit myself to reading about 3 articles a day, so I don't go down the rabbit hole that some people do. I'll read about 3 articles a day in the national news, and I do try to just check out what's going on the different medias. And
God love you.
It can be tough sometimes. But, you know, we have one station that's telling people just don't look at your 401ks right now. Yeah. This is time for you to give back to your country. This is something I heard this morning. That's insane. They're tanking our economy. People who are at retirement are losing their retirement money, and they're telling us that that's a time to give back to your country. I don't buy it. So economically, we've got to be smart right now. And I think that there's going to be a very real effect on municipal government.
Yeah. And you got to ask around. You know, I yesterday, for point of interest, I was at the VA hospital in Northampton. And there are people there concerned about their jobs. And they're not admin people. They're caregivers. I know what you're saying. And I applaud you Because you, and I would recommend this to others out there in the listening and viewing audience. Limit yourself, because if you don't, you'll be talking to the squirrels, and that's okay. But when you hear them talking back, you know you've watched too much TV. You know.
It's good to be informed, but we're at a time where some people are just, it's the
Me.
only thing they're consuming. And when you're only consuming the unpredictable, the potentially scary,
Hypothetical.
all hypothetical,
Yep.
it's not healthy. We've got to enjoy the good stuff and just know what's going on and prepare our households and
Yeah.
our community for it.
And you know, I mean, I'm a veteran, and there's rumors and the and counter rumors. Rumors they're going to not cut it all out, but reduce your compensation if you're on a pension from the war or whatever. And then on the next breath, they're talking about Social Security and not taxing Social Security. I can't figure it out. You know, I don't think I'm the sharpest knife in the drawer, and I know there's thousands out there that'll agree with me. I'll hear it after the show, but I'm smart enough to realize you gotta start leveling the playing field here with the folks and being. I don't care what country comes over to negotiate the new thing. What I want to know is how is it going to affect me, my family, my grandkids? Not just today, because I'm almost at the end of my book, but I want to know how it's going to hurt my grandchildren who are in the still writing the introduction.
I think that's where a lot of us are right now, right? You know,
Yeah.
whether it be young parents or grandparents, we're
You're a
thinking
young parent, you got two beautiful babies.
our
You know,
nation.
and but you know, we can go nuts with that, but you as a city, and I'm already halfway there, so you know, but you as a city councilor, you have a double burden. You have your own personal burden, but you also have the burden of the city. And boy, you know, I mean, that's how I look at it. I know there's a lot of people in politics that like to grandstand and gripe about everything and everybody. But you're, and I say this and I mean it, and there's three or four of you, I think. Your voice is in the wilderness, your voices of reason. You know, when you say something, I attribute it to Churchill Cotton. Churchill Cotton, when he was on the call, he didn't say a lot, but when he did, it was like that commercial. Everybody listened, you know? And there's some that just say a lot and nobody listens, so.
You use the word burden, and I was sitting here trying to find a different word that I would use because
Okay.
I don't feel like burden is the
Responsibility.
right. I think responsibility is there, and it's also a great opportunity,
Okay.
right?
I'll go into
And
that.
it, and I've been thinking about this a lot, even in terms of am I running for re-election, right? How do I feel about this
Yeah. Well,
responsibility,
that'll
this
be a
task
question.
that
Don't
I've
answer it right
agreed
yet.
to
That's
do?
on my que that's on my question list. Don't answer it right away.
All those things, right? But it's how you look at problems when they're in front of you. Is it a steep hill or is it one step at a time and we're going to get to the top? And for me, I think that's kind of how I view things.
Yeah.
We have our challenges. We all have our challenges. The city, our households, whatever it is. But I think there's very little that's unmanageable.
Okay. All
You
right.
know, it's not going to be easy.
No.
Sometimes it's going to be a little more difficult than other times, but there's
Yeah.
very little that's not unmanageable. And sometimes there's unconventional ways to the other side.
I compare it with making shepherd's pie or having a hamburger. We can have a hamburger, which takes a little bit of work, or
Sure.
shepherd's pie that takes a lot of work. And I think
Okay.
some of the things that all of us, and it is all of us, will be facing will be more like shepherd's pies. And maybe that's a gloom and doom view. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but I'm an old man. I've been around a lot. I've seen a lot. I lived through financial crises before, and so, but I also think now too, you're of a generation that can be problem solvers, and I mean that sincerely. I mean my folks, I my famous civil service quote, oh, we've always done it that way. And so change is like, look at the toters. Even still on Facebook and the internet, people are complaining about the toters. I personally love the toters, so.
I thank you for saying that about my generation. I think
They
millennials,
are.
though I'm an elder millennial, I think millennials in general, we get this, we've had an unfair characteristic told about us when in reality, we have never known a time when this country wasn't facing significant challenges, right? We're in high school and 9/11 happened. And I think back to how, and I talked to friends on the East Coast, how their classrooms handled it. Many of us were just contained in a classroom and televisions were rolled in because that's the time when they rolled a television in. And the
Watch
news
it.
was playing on a loop. Nobody knew what happened. We were just watching planes flying in to the buildings and learning about the Pentagon and like, so that happened. We go to war. We have the first economic downturn. We've had all of these things happen. And I think millennials in many ways have handled a lot. And we've actually come out the other side ready to do the work. And I think the millennials I know at least work really hard at contributing to making things better.
I believe you're correct, and I believe that there are people who judge the minority of millennials who just whined and cried and never put on their shoes and went to work, kind of thing. Where the ones that, like yourself and so many of your generation that I know, they stand up and they go to work and every day, and their families and their parents and their, And I think it's they are problem solvers, and this is going to be a big test for a lot of us. A lot of us will try to solve the problems. Some of the people, like, I'm in my late 70s, so my problem solving days are like over, but I think we are looking for the solutions. We may not be the cause of the solutions, but we are looking for them.
I think that's a good perspective, and in many ways, it's time for the next generation to step up, and for the generations that have been in power, or generation, I should say, that's been in power for so long, to maybe consider stepping aside. We haven't seen this hold on power for the duration that we have seen with your generation. It's a hold on wealth. It's a hold on power, and I don't mean to be coming down on the baby
Oh,
boomers
no,
right
you
now.
haven't said anything that's wrong. I mean, when
But
you
there's a
have people
reality
that
of
have been in Congress since they were 20 and are now 70 something, I mean, it could be time. Let me give you a quote that you can keep. John Fitzgerald Kennedy, "The torch has been passed to a new generation." And it get a hold people that, like my age and older, or a couple years younger, get a hold of it. This torch is being passed, whether you like it or you don't like it. My thing, what scares me, Dina, is the violence. The just outright. I can disagree with you. I started this radio show with this premise. We can disagree, but I refuse to be disagreeable.
That's
You know?
important.
When I see people, their cars, a Tesla getting burned because it's a Tesla, they don't know the person inside the car.
Nobody wants, at least I think the average person, the average American doesn't want to see violence. I do try to be aware of the fact that like what was happening in the 1960s? There was a lot of violence. There were a lot of protests.
That's funny.
And where what's happening now, how different is it in reality to other points in history when there has been a sea change and there's been an upheaval of status quo, right? Like, are we just more aware of it? because of the
You're
nature
right.
of media and social networking and the way that these algorithms and even the television media is able to manipulate the viewers. What is the reality here? The reality is that we are a free society where people can protest, and sometimes people get out of hand and not good things happen. But that's not who we are as a culture. I don't believe that.
I hope not, and I can tell you, being I remember the 60s better than I remember where I parked the car. So, but there were disturbances in this and that. There wasn't the level of, I don't think, violence. There were some shootings, but the shootings were not by the rioters. They were at the rioters. But I can tell you, speaking coming home, walking through the Seattle airport on my way back from Vietnam, a guy threw a big gulp, Coke, or I don't know what it was inside it, and it hit me and my uniform. We had to be escorted to the gates because of protesters. They wouldn't get in the airport today, but back then, and so I mean, each generation has its rabble rousers, I guess. Or, but I would like to think. I think of that guy, the pharmaceutical president who was assassinated by that. I mean, I don't want to get into it, but that was just murder. I mean, you can make up all the excuses you want. That was murder. Shot in the back. I mean, but we have people like, and I want to say this about you and Peter White and others on the council, that try to keep a tone of civility. And I appreciate that. Because if you can't, I mean, I have people who argue with me on here and people who send me hate mail later. But it is what it is.
I'm in my third term on the council, and every council meeting where we've had a big disagreement, maybe I don't know if it comes through on the cameras or in the news coverage as palpable as it can be sometimes. But there have been big disagreements among councilors during this session, and or class, I should say. And at the end of every meeting, there's somebody that says, "Oh, that was great," when the cameras are off and there's no microphone. "That was great. Thank you for speaking up." And we acknowledge that we really disagree, no matter who it is across the dais. There's always an acknowledgement of the big disagreement that happened, and almost like a thankfulness of the dialogue. And that's something that, honestly, that's why I have kept running since my first term, because I've been looking for this collegiality of the council, because I knew we could get to a place where we disagree, but we're not disagreeable, and we genuinely hash out a topic, and we try to find the right way. And at the end, the final vote may not be what one of us agrees with or a few of us agree with, but we respect the other's viewpoint.
That's it.
And we give them the opportunity, or we give each other the opportunity to fully express it. And it's something that I've really enjoyed about this group.
And well, and again, the being a voice of reason, being a debater, and that's I mean that as a compliment, not and I see sometimes I just think, because I watch those, and I just think, well, counsel, you're not adding anything to the conversation. That, like, if somebody, I think I what I like with Peter White, if you've already spoken on it a couple of times, that's it. Don't, because in the old days, I mean, the meetings would go to 11 or 12 at night, and it was a lot of repetition. We don't have that anymore.
I don't think it's always helpful just to speak up just to say that you agree with what's already been said. Your vote's going to say it for you.
That's what I
but
think too.
there are times when there are points that you really want to make, and I think that's a good time to speak up.
And I would say this to the general public too, but I think While you may not like the counselor or whatever, or the topic or the amendment that's on the agenda or whatever, I would ask you be respectful. I mean, I watch some of those meetings and I say, you know, what is wrong with this person? They're attacking. They come in loaded for a bear, and the counselors don't respond. So you can shoot at them all you want, but they're not going to respond.
And I think, you know, we just saw a big engagement on the median safety proposal that Mayor Marchetti had put forward.
Yeah.
And the engagement that we received from the community was on a spectrum. There were some people that, you know, really kind of made it personal and came down personally on anyone who might support it. And then the rest of it was a very clear exchange of concerns that people had,
Huh.
and have you considered this other side of it? Can we do it a different way? And during the ONR meeting, you know, I was getting messages during the meeting that I was being too lenient with some of the people that were talking. With every single person that comes up for open mic, I make a little note of the minutes slash seconds that we're on when they come up.
Yeah.
I'm watching the time. And I try to keep people at 3 minutes. And I don't see any point in, you know, banging a gavel or making somebody stop talking when they have 3 seconds left of their sentence.
Yeah.
They know there's 3 minutes. They're trying to wrap it up. And I found that in that large group of people that came to speak, it was really beneficial just to let them finish their thought and have a respectful exchange, because many of them too have never been in to city council chambers.
Yeah.
People living on the edges of society right now, they're people that are just trying to get by. And to come into that room with
Yeah.
the suits and to speak their truth about their daily experience, that took a lot of courage.
Yeah.
And I wasn't there to tell anybody to be quiet. I was there to listen.
Yeah, and I think, and that, I guess what I'm asking you have that respectful side, and I'm asking the people who go before that mic, I don't care how mad you are about the topic, be respectful. Yeah, you know that to me it, I try to maintain a composure that I used to teach in the academy, and I would tell people when you go from the objective to the emotional, disengage, because now you're not you. Your emotions are coming out, but your logic has been overwhelmed.
Well, it's like your reptilian brain is taking over,
Yeah.
and we've evolved very far past that. So, if you can recognize when it's coming out and just kind of hit pause, it's helpful to everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've had through the years, I've had people call me back or email me or whatever and say, "You know what, Bill, that was great advice, 'cause I was losing it and I remembered what you said and I disengaged and just said I'll catch up with you." And I mean, I still do it. I have people jump me. What was that? Reach out. What is it? Push up. What was this weekend in Park Square?
Hands off.
Hands up. I knew it had something to do with push up, hands off.
Hands off protest, yeah.
Like I told you, I can remember back in the 60s. I don't remember yesterday. I posted, they wanted to come on. I was out of days, you know, because this will play next week. So they should have gotten to me earlier, but they didn't know. So, but here's the thing. I posted on my website about their event. They came to me. They were respectful. And they have that right. They were doing it. They got permits. They did everything they were supposed to do. You don't agree with them? Okay. I understand. But they have their right to do it. And I have to be respectful to them.
I'm impressed by the level of organization that we've seen happen.
Yeah.
There have been, I will call them isolated incidents of violence. Nothing compares to what we saw on January 6th, in my opinion. Most of it's property damage that we've seen. January 6th was an assault on our Capitol. And that's a very different way of expressing discontent, right? So the people that have shown up across the country at these protests that we've seen really since January and a little bit before have by and large been very peaceful. There's
Except
always going to be a bad egg.
the cop, except the ones, the anti-Semitic ones.
Oh, of course.
That to me, that's unacceptable. I'm sorry if I offend people. No, I'm not. That's unacceptable. That is totally unacceptable. I'm a Catholic, so I should be mad at the former administration for putting undercover agents in Catholic churches because they sit on mass in Latin. I mean, that makes no sense.
I mean, the anti-Semitism that we've seen an uprise of, it's not acceptable. There's no place for it. The anti-Islamism that we've seen is equally true, that there's no place for it. During Iraq and Afghanistan wars, we saw a lot of that in this country. There's just no place for it. And it's when it goes to the other side, that's a violence. It's not acceptable.
And I like to say this. I've been fortunate in my life. I've lived in all over the world. And Pittsfield has always been pretty much a bastion for fairness and I was proud of that group on Sunday or Saturday, I'm sorry. I was proud of that group because they did it right. They did everything right. The only thing they did, and it wasn't wrong, it was kind of stupid, but this person steps out because I surveyed it.
Oh.
Yeah, I drove around. I wasn't going to get out in the rain. I have a real hatred for rain since Vietnam. I spent like 7 days continuously in the rain.
You met your quota of rain days.
It's like camping. I consider staying at a Holiday Inn Express camping. But the woman, I know she was, the guy was blowing the horn like a crazy person. She stepped right in front of him and he slammed his brakes on. It could have been a real tragedy. And that was the only thing, and I was not there a lot, but I was there a good amount of time, that I thought was out of line. For the people who want to belittle them and put them down and all that, don't they were within their rights as Americans.
Yeah, I just, again, like I don't, there's no place for that conversation to me even. This is America. If you can organize and express your view, that's what we're going to do. And if you have a problem with that, just don't do it. The same with a lot of the legislation that's been proposed. If you don't like something, if you don't want it for yourself or your body, just don't do it. Why do you care what other people do?
And this, I guess what I've tried to do in my life, and I've not always been good at it, but I try not to be so damn judgmental of everybody. Except the people who tailgate me. I don't like them.
No, we don't like those.
Yeah, they scare me because I don't know if they're awake or what. Especially when you look and they're on their phone. Oh God, I gotta pull over. But before we go to break, I have to ask this question. You don't have to answer it. I don't want you to feel. Are you going to run for office again?
I am. I haven't pulled out papers yet, but I've talked it over with the family and I've talked to some constituents and I'm going to do it.
Well, I think you represent your district, and you represent as on these boards, as you chair, you represent the city in the process well. And I will say that. We're going to take a break. I'm here with City Councilor Dina Lampiazzi, someone I've had the greatest admiration for. She used to do this, on the radio too. But then she got common sense and left. But seriously, I don't really care who you vote for. I really don't. But please, please get out and vote. And if you want to know why, I'll tell you. go to that up to the cemeteries over Memorial Day, and you see all those flags on those stones in front of those stones. Those were people who at one point in time put their life on the line to let you vote. And don't tell me it takes too long, because Michelle Benjamin and all the people in the city clerk's office, they work. So if you're there more than 10 minutes, you must have hit it at super rush hour, because I have never, well, they throw me out, but please vote. It's important, especially now with this, all that's going on. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio. We're also simulcasting down there in Southern Berkshire on FM 88.1, and we are so happy to be there. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Struggling with technology? Can't find reliable information online? Ready to toss your phone? PCTV is here to help. From filtering emails to making video calls, our free digital navigation services have you covered. Visit us at 4 Federico Drive, Pittsfield, or call 413-445-4234. Our friendly navigator will help you step by step, even if you don't know where to start. Brought to you by PCTV and the Alliance for Digital Equity, bridging the digital divide one connection at a time.
Hello, Phil Tierney here, the host of Berkshire Jazz, where I play all the young tigers and old lions of jazz every Saturday evening from 8 to 10 on WTBR 89.7, Pittsfield Community Radio. Join me Saturday at 8. And if you know someone who likes and enjoys this great American classical music, tell them about us. Spread the word. Jazz is alive and well on WTBR 89.7. Thanks for listening.
Do you have a favorite show on WTBR FM? Did you miss the last episode? We've got good news for you. Most of our shows are now available on podcast. You can subscribe to your favorite and have the latest episode downloaded to your device automatically on Apple, Google, Amazon Music, Stitcher, or Overcast. Go to WTBRFM.com/podcasting and find out more today. WTBRFM, for the love of radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM. Pittsfield Community Radio.
Hey, we're right back. How are you doing? We had a nice little break. I'm here today with someone I have the utmost respect for. Her name is Dina Lampiasi. She is a city councilor in the city of Pittsfield. She represents Ward
6.
Six. I knew that.
I Ward forgot. 6, the best ward in the city.
I know. And if I could only remember it, I'd say that. And she's been, she admitted on this program, she confessed, she is going to run again. She hasn't taken out papers. But I'm happy to hear that, because I will say it again. I feel that Dina is a voice of reason and now a voice of experience, too. And right now we need thoughtful people who are problem in her generation. I gave credit to them because I think they are problem solvers. And I hope and pray that these generation and people can come together. I'm burned out on hatred. I don't have the energy for it. I really don't. And I just was thinking, Dina said earlier in the program, she channels hers. I do that too. And it's the same thing that they're talking about, but you wouldn't know it. You know, it was like, what? I just heard that on the other channel. And they said, so again, scrutiny what you watch and don't watch too much.
Yeah. When in doubt, just read it.
Yeah.
So much of the news, I'm going to say news in quotes.
Yeah.
These shows are not news. They're actually entertainment platforms.
That's what they
are. These people are not journalists. They have scripts and they're there to entertain you based on channel that you're watching.
You can tell they're reading it. And I like Dina Lampiazzi because she represents Ward 6 very, very well.
Well, we just need the facts of what's going on. I don't need an entertainer's perspective on it. It's not useful to my life other than to make people sensationalized.
Yeah, or put down. Yeah. They're either sensationalized as superheroes or they're put down as villains. Right. You know, when I was in South Africa, I became addicted to the BBC because but now even they've gone a little flaky on things. They have some flaky programs. But over there, there was a train wreck and 14 people were hurt. It could have been terrorism. And we're not sure how many were seriously hurt. Well, yeah. 14 were hurt. That's up to doctors to.
Yeah.
So, what, other than money, what do you think some of the biggest challenges to facing the city over the next couple years?
I mean, money's always a problem. It's always in the backdrop of whatever issue we have, right? We continue to have aging infrastructure. Our roads, you know, we're starting to tend to some of our bridges, but we've still got major issues there. Our schools, we've got to figure something out there. like many people, I was disappointed when I learned through the newspaper that the school committee chair has no intention of sharing the report of what's transpired in the schools. I think, you know, I've tried to really be objective about this it's my concern is that we year after year, we go into budget sessions and there's always a slide about our declining enrollment and how Pittsfielders are choicing out and surrounding communities are not choicing in. And this is part of our revenue problem with our schools, right? I don't see how where we are today and what we know about how the school department is moving forward with the allegations. I don't know how this fixes our PR problem to bring people into our schools, to bring families and students into our schools. I don't know how a lack of communication is intended to make our families feel safe sending their students to our schools, to make students feel like they're being taken care of by competent adults. You know, there are so many areas that this is just a failure. And if there are innocent people that have had their names dragged through the mud and that's what this report revealed, that should be shared.
Exactly.
There could be a redacted version. There could be a redacted executive summary. We don't need to know minors' names. I don't need to know that. What I need to know is that we don't have predators in our school. Right. And there's nothing that's been shared publicly that has made me as a parent, me as a city councilor, me as a Pittsfield resident, know that to be true.
Yeah, and I think I read somewhere, was told, I can't remember, but it's not just a Pittsfield problem, and we're finding that out. And that's not an excuse for what you're saying.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And one has to ask themselves, what's happened? I mean, I went to I went to public school, North Junior High, Pittsfield High. Nothing. So, but I agree with you, and not to take sides. I wrote a letter to the editor way back when all the people had something to say about it while they were accusations. And, you know, I was a cop a long time, and I've seen a lot of people accused of crime, I've arrested people accused of crimes, and they were found innocent and walked out of court. So that's all I was saying. Caution, most especially public figures, because your voice, you know, you're a city councilor. You say more people are going to listen to you than listen to me.
And I'm a supporter of education. I'm a supporter of public education. I have always been a supporter of Pittsfield Public Schools. I've never been that city councilor to you know, have an axe to grind on our schools. That's not me. But the reality is, you know, we have a situation that the community is very uncomfortable, and I'm not seeing or hearing enough to give them a legitimate reason to calm down and look away. When an innocent person's name has been ruined or dragged through the mud, especially if it's your employee, it's my view that you do everything you can to protect them.
Exactly.
And to restore their good name when their name is good. And I believe that's a responsibility. And this is nothing against anybody on the school committee directly. This is strictly, you know, the reality that our community needs more reassurance.
The sooner the better. If they're let's clean the slate and start fresh. You know, we're going in the summer. I don't want to see this thing drag through till next fall. Unless there's my thing was these are sensitive investigations being done by the FBI, Child Protective Services, the local police and state police. And we got a district attorney. He's not going to put anything under the table. You know what I'm saying? I have the greatest respect for District Attorney Shagru. Look at what he's done. He's breaking up drug rings and child porn things. And as far as going to Dr. Cameron, he's an attorney, so I understand what you're saying, but I would like to ask him what his logic is.
And I think that goes to the deeper point of what I'm saying is that I believe there's a different way of handling this.
Yeah.
Even to make all the attorneys happy, we could say and do something differently to give people more peace of mind. And I will stand by that.
Yeah.
For eternity on this topic, you know, and to your point, this is a problem that we have throughout the state and beyond, right? Oh. People, predators going into schools and having access to vulnerable children.
Yeah.
You know, I just brought forward a petition for the city council to support Lee Davis's bill to close the age of consent loophole, which is a companion bill to Senator Lovely's bill on the same topic. And, you know, when I was discussing it at the city council, there's 200 cases have been brought forward this year of allegations of impropriety. 200 this year. It's only April.
Yeah.
That says we have a problem. Now, are all of those allegations true? I'm sure there are some that are not.
Right.
But for even an allegation, when we're talking about our children, we can do more to make sure that people understand that they're in a safe place.
I think you're right. I'm with you with that. I have a solution to some of it, but I'm sure people would scream and pull their hair out. But more cameras,
more cameras. We also have to improve our policies. It came out through this process that Pittsfield Public Schools lacked social media policy governing how adults working in our schools are interacting with children. Like, these are the facts. And
but it's not only Pittsfield.
Alone is a huge oversight. Any organization that people work in today, there's a social media policy.
Yeah. Yeah.
We do it different. We can do it better.
I think too that. Yeah. Oh, I agree with that. And I mean, if you see some of the ones that I would get, you go. Yeah. But I agree that it's a different world. That's the point, Dina.
Yeah.
It's a different world. Did you watch that presentation by Mr. Costa, Jonathan Costa, about success, the 21st century AI? There it is. Finally come out. It's way back. That filing cabinet's old, kid, now. But about AI, he did it before the school committee, about how they have to now retool and relearn teaching with AI. I've watched it on PCTV, you know, a couple of times, and I just printed it out and read it verbatim. I got to tell you, it's for someone like me, it's intimidating and scary. And I think you're right in saying from that now they have to do policies for that.
Yeah.
But AI is, I told this story recently. When I worked in the shop, the first computer-assisted horizontal boring mill came in, and all the guys liked it. Because when I worked in the shop, it was only guys. All the guys liked it. And I thought, how foolish. Don't you understand? That's your replacement.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what are we hearing from AI? This job's going to be eliminated. That job's gone. This job's gone. So that scares someone like me.
Yeah, I think it scares a lot of us. AI, there are so many aspects of AI that the majority of the majority of us don't
we
understand
don't
or aren't ready for. You know, there are the more dangerous aspects of it to our safety, our personal information, you know, all of that. And then there's also the practical side of like what it's going to do and what it is doing to our economy. Yeah. I mean, how often now when we call a number for a company that we're dealing with, and we don't realize that we're actually dealing with an AI bot.
Right.
Talking to you.
Oh, I know.
And that's what they are. It's challenging in many ways.
How about the mother who's suing another mother and her daughter because the girl took the girl's head and put it on a naked body and shipped it all over the high school?
Yeah, that's a, yeah.
I mean, to me, that poor kid is, you know, the mother, I watched it, and she said, my daughter's devastated. She won't come out of her room. Well, who wouldn't be?
Yeah.
And what mother would let their daughter do that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah. And so we have AI. I think, too, what you were saying about the city and the infrastructure, I know Mr. Morales came and the mayor came up with a plan. From what I'm hearing, and I, the plan has to be more detailed. You know, exactly when are you, because what you don't have to agree with this, but what I'm hearing, and I kind of tend to, they start a job and then they go to another job without finishing that job. So no matter where you go in the city, you're running into construction.
And so much of it too has, and I've learned this through being a counselor, is, right, you know, the reality of the limited number of contractors that we have.
Exactly.
And in so many ways, we're actually just at their mercy because they have other accounts to fulfill.
Yeah.
They have other schedules. And if their day to be in Pittsfield ends up getting rained out, we get pushed along. And then that's how us counselors end up with last year's streets being done this year, and then hoping that we still get to this year's streets. And It's kind of like whack-a-mole.
Sidewalks. I want to put in a sidewalks. My sidewalk on William Street. I'm an old man now, and I walk with a cane. I'm a little unstable walking. There's people who debate both ways, but we were never on a list. And it's an old macadam sidewalk. We got rocks coming up. Where the driveways have come out now is all broke. I'm not going to get into it, but you're right. And I would hope, and you are right, and I thank you for bringing it out. There are contractors who can make a lot more money doing a private job too. And mm-hmm. I would like to make a comment here. I don't know who you are, but the guy, the person who was responsible for Arlington and the side streets, and I hope you had a wonderful winter financially, because you did, sir, the best job I've ever seen done on Arlington Street since I've lived here for 45 years. Arlington comes straight down, Dina.
Yeah.
Many times we park our car way back because mm-hmm. many times they come down too fast, put their brakes on and slide across the street into my driveway.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's when your neighborhood gets a good contractor in the winter, it's noticeable.
Oh yeah.
I live in a neighborhood with I would say like wide corners around the twists and turns of our neighborhood. And often the complaints that I get is, do they even know where the road is? Because it's just like one path going through, but sometimes it's on somebody's grass. Sometimes it's in the middle of the road. It can be tough. getting a good plow job in your neighborhood is very important.
For years, I had one guy would plow down Arlington, all of Arlington, and plow right in front of my house in the snowbank.
I'm sure that would melt really nicely too.
Yeah. And when I would try to pull out of my driveway, I'd have to get halfway out on the William Street to make sure somebody wasn't coming. These are hard jobs, and the people who complain the most, and I don't like to complain, but the people, think about the plow drivers. I can remember many years ago, I saw a guy and it was an awful winter. And I said, boy, you're making a lot of money, you know? He goes, Bill, I give it back. I haven't seen my kids. We're working 12-hour days. I'm going from midnight to noon and they're in school. And then I come home. Let's not be so judgmental.
Most of the time, people are just doing the best they can.
I don't think, you know what, Dina, you and I are on the same page with that. I don't think anybody's intentionally not plowing the way they should. Plowing isn't easy.
Yeah, And so much of it, too, is, many of our neighborhoods are built so differently in the city, even just in Pittsfield, right? If somebody's used to, I don't know, plowing your neighborhood over by Arlington or...
Yeah.
Somewhere in Ward 2, it's so different than some other places, right? And just, it's not all cookie cutter. It's all different. And when you go to a new neighborhood that you have never really seen, except when it's covered in snow, I understand why that's challenging. One of the things I've done is I like to put those little reflectors in my yard.
Yeah.
And then that kind of guides the guy like around the corner and he's got somewhere to go.
To help him out.
Help him out. And it's made a difference. They're like $1.89, huge difference.
And I think too that, as we get close to the end of the show here, I really want to say you have done, as I said, I think you're a voice of reason and logical. And I also think too, you've contributed in the bigger picture of the city council. Maybe it wasn't your idea or your, but you've either supported it or you've not supported it, but you've articulated why. And I think if any advice for your colleagues, do that. I don't care if you don't support it. I may care if I like it, but I'm hearing going nuts when people want to come on to downplay Wacona Park. And I'm at this point in time, I'm waiting to get the final stuff on Wacona Park. I'm not going to, it's premature to bring somebody on and have them rant and rave for an hour about the park when we're not 100% sure about the park.
Right.
I think there's a lot of people under my friend Earl Persip, under him and his team, they're trying to do the best. You made me think of it, the best they can.
Yeah. So much of our job as counselors and as anybody involved in the city is just having a vision of what's before you and how do we get there. You know, for me, I'm really focused on making sure that this is a community that my kids can call home.
Yeah.
You know, and that means making sure we have strong infrastructure. We need to have strong schools. How are we attracting business? All of these things come together.
And that is, you know, I could have retired anywhere. We could have retired anywhere. And we came home. I mean, I came home. This is my home. And I'm like you. And before I forget, I want to thank Rhonda Sears to get that Pex Road Bridge in. God, Jesus, go up to the cemetery. I got to drive all the way up and all the way back down. But there's a lot going on. And I think people need to take that under consideration and not be so damn critical.
For sure. Absolutely.
And thank you for all that you do, because you're a young mom. You got a family. And I've got grandbabies, so I know what you're going through. And I do applaud you for doing it and staying on. And thank you again. Thank you. One more time. Thank you for running again. You are a voice of reason. And I'm always here for you. If you want to come on, I'm a phone call away. And just remember, when you're sitting at these different meetings or at the council and you look out, understand there's an old fat bald guy sitting in a recliner. And I told Marchetti I would go to more meetings if he put recliners in there, but he said no. So there you go.
Thanks for having me on the show, Bill. It's always good to catch up.
You're great. To everybody, Dina included, God bless. And today, try to lift somebody's load. Don't be so critical of everybody. Lift somebody's load. Make them smile. Make them laugh. We're all in this together, and we need each other. Believe me when I tell you, it's a long, cold road when you're trying to walk it alone. Dina, the best to you and the doc and the babies.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, everybody. See you soon.